Bob, I'm going to take a little more volume than your pastor has, if you'll bring me up on this microphone a little bit. That way I can just talk nicely. Man, I tell you what, believe it or not, I was raised Southern Baptist. Then I was 18 years old, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you saw what happened after that. Amen. Give me just a little bit more. That was about 20 years ago. I used to have a drinking problem on the new wine. I still do every once in a while. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is such a thing as getting, you know, intoxicated with the person and presence of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's real. On the day of Pentecost, they said, you know, they thought they were drunk on new wine because they were filled with the Spirit. So anyway, I told my girls, I said, baby, since YouTube's developed, there's nothing Daddy can do about it. It's out there forever. And it's all right with me. Amen. Hey, listen, we're happy to be here with you this morning. We're going to have a great time. We love your pastors. We appreciate their ministry. We do have a table. I used to call it a book table, but there's no book, so we'll just call it an impartation table. If you're 25 years or younger, you don't buy CDs, but there's still some CD players in the cars, and we and appreciate the worship, too, this morning. Everyone, that was a blessing. So this is a CD, teaching CD entitled Five Things to Keep, or Things to Keep, in which I give you five that the Bible tells us that we should keep as a believer. I won't spoil it for you, but it's some good teaching out there on that. This is a teaching CD called What's Love Got to Do with It? Well, it's got a lot to do with it. What's love got to do? It's got a lot to do. Amen. And then we've got one called Empowered for Living. This is a line upon line, precept upon precept teaching on what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As I told you, I was 18. I was born and raised Southern Baptist, but I went to a Catholic Bible study when I was 18 years old. Yes, Catholic Bible study during the charismatic renewal. And I came out baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in a supernatural language called unknown tongues. So we just give you a line upon line, no nonsense approach, and just lead you also into receiving the experience Empowered for Living. If you've got questions about that, that'd be a good one for you. And then I've got some great music out there. This one's In His Presence. Y'all may use that for your prayer time, I don't know, but I sat down for about 45 minutes, played out of my spirit, no particular melodies, and just you can pray with it, you can worship with it, you can meditate, right? So who would like this particular CD, In His Presence? Right there, sir? All right, pass that back. Who would like Empowered for Living? Empowered for Living. How about What's Love Got to Do with It? And then I'm going to go on that side. Nobody's raising your hand, so I'm going to come over there anyway. Five Things to Keep, or Things to Keep, right over here on this side. All right, praise the Lord. How many of you have your Bibles or your devices? Wave them, make the devil mad. Glory to God. We're going to have a good time in here this morning. Anybody ready to have a good time? Yeah. I've got my wife with me, my precious wife. She doesn't always get to travel with me, and my girls are with me. Honey, stand up. This is my wife, Lola. She's a blessing. Such a blessing. So, once again, man, you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. How many of you believe that? Something very dear, you know, something very dear to the heart of God is the local church. Matthew 16 and 18, you remember that Jesus said, I will build my church. He was speaking to Peter. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And ever since he uttered those words, he's been busy building his kingdom, building his church, the ecclesia, the elect, those who are called out, separated from the world, separated unto his divine purpose, and empowered to establish his kingdom and his will in the earth. And a very essential part of that building process and project is the local church. You know, I don't know if most people realize it as a Christian, but one of the most significant decisions you will ever make as a believer is where you go to church. That one decision will have tremendous impact on your life as a Christian. It will have an impact on the life of your family. It will have an impact on the fulfillment of your destiny. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:18, Paul, of course, writing, notice what he said. He said, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has what? Pleased him. Now notice, not as it has pleased us, but as it has pleased him. One translation says, God has placed every member of the body right where he wanted it. So what that tells me and what that tells you, once again, is where I go to church and where you go to church, if we're listening, is not so much a matter of personal preference as much as it is a matter of divine placement. Now, there are several reasons for that. Every believer or every sheep needs a shepherd and a sheepfold. This is God's plan. This is his way. So God will place every one of us as a member of the body in a local church under the care of a pastor where we can be fed the word of God. We can grow up spiritually. We can be protected and nurtured as a young believer. We can be encouraged and preserved as a mature believer, and where we can receive the necessary knowledge, revelation, spiritual impartations, and equipment to set us on the right course to fulfilling our divine purpose and destiny in life and ministry, whatever it may be. Also, you know, the local church is where we, as individual members, we find our significance as a Christian. Because the reality is, my life as a Christian and your life as a Christian can only find its true significance when we discover how we relate to the body of Christ as a whole. And that discovery primarily takes place in the context of the local church. None of us were created to be an entity unto ourselves. Once again, my life as a Christian and your life as a Christian can only find its true significance when we understand or discover how we relate to the body of Christ as a whole. And just repeating, that discovery primarily for most people takes place within the context of the local church. Somebody say, thank God for the local church. So that's why, you know, we say the local church is where we meet together, as your pastor was encouraging. We encourage one another. We stand with one another in times of need, and we're a family, right? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, notice what the Bible says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And notice, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And how many of you know the day is approaching? So we need to get together more, not less, right? You know, I would never be where I am in life if it were not for my constant relationship with the local church throughout my life. I was born and raised in the local church. Ever since I was old enough, around 15, 16, man, I served in the local church. I was trained in the local church. I met my wife in the local church. Our ministry was launched from the local church. And a large portion of our ministry today is still to the local church. So I'm a strong advocate for the local church. Anybody agree with me? So we said, once again, where you go to church, where I go to church, is not necessarily a matter of personal preference as much as it is a matter of divine placement. We said there are several reasons for that. First of all, God knows what each one of us are going to need, right? The revelation, the impartations, the spiritual equipment. He also knows with whom our lives need to intersect, right? In order to facilitate his purpose and plan and destiny. Once again, none of us are an entity unto ourselves as a believer, your life and mine. Your purpose and mine, your destiny and mine are interconnected in Christ. So God will set you in places where your life and mine will intersect with the right people who will be a blessing to your life, to your family, and you likewise to them. It could be in business, it could be spiritually, it could be in many different arenas, which brings me to my next point. There are not only personal destinies, but there are also corporate destinies. So God joins personal purposes and destinies to formulate corporate ones. So it's not all about what we can receive, is it? It's also about what we can supply. So God will actually plant you in a church for what? For the supply, right? Notice in Exodus chapter 31, Exodus 31, beginning in verse 1 through 6. Very interesting passage of Scripture. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "See, I've called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, of the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I've given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishma, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Notice verse 11. "And the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, Moses, shall they do." Isn't that interesting? So what do we see here? When God calls a pastor to a city and places a vision in his heart, he simultaneously calls a people. And if those people are listening, they'll be in the right place, in the right company, making their supply. God will place people with the gifts and the graces and the resources and the abilities necessary to facilitate the vision. That's why I always encourage men, never abandon your God-appointed place in the body of Christ as it pertains to the local church. Now, we understand people transition in life. We understand that. But just make sure you're in the right place where God has assigned you. Don't let anyone or anything misplace you, right? Even when you may be, you know, tempted at times, all of us get a little discouraged at times or disgruntled over things, but we don't allow those things to govern our decisions. We stay where we're supposed to stay, doing what we're supposed to do. Can you say amen? So I just want to encourage you once again this morning, you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. And I just encourage you to hook up, give whatever supply it may be in prayer, in different areas of service, financially, whatever God may put within your heart to supply, be a blessing. And you'll get a blessing. There's an eternal blessing and reward for those that say, "Hey, you know what, God? You placed me, and I stayed put, and I stayed faithful." So thank you for what you're doing here. The pastor didn't ask me to say that. I said it. Just had it in my spirit this morning. Because what I really have in my heart, as I look around, I see the vibrancy, and I could feel, the sincerity of your praise and your worship. And I know God has placed you here. I believe that you're here by divine appointment. And we just want to have what I call a celebration service this morning. Celebrating the goodness of God. Reflecting upon how faithful He's been. Not only to you as a church and as a people, but also His faithfulness to you personally as a believer. Is that all right? I got to take my coat off. Get a little hot. So it just seemed good to me and to the Holy Ghost that we have a celebration service. So I just want to lay a little groundwork. So you'll know, I'll always like to lay a foundation from the Scripture for everything that we do so people know it's scriptural. Right? So thinking about that, in the Old Testament, there was a priesthood from the tribe of Levi. And it was the responsibility of the priesthood to offer the sacrifices that were required as ordinances of worship under the Old Covenant. They had, as well as fulfill the duties of the temple, but they had daily sacrifices. They had weekly sacrifices. They had annual sacrifices. There were wave offerings, grain offerings, offerings given for restored health, sin offerings. You name it, they had it, and it was the responsibility of the priesthood to offer those sacrifices. But what I want you to realize this morning, and I know you do because you're well taught here, that in this New Testament dispensation, the institution of the priesthood still exists. How many of you know that? How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, notice what Peter said. You are what? A chosen generation. A what? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. So if you feel a little funny being here, that's all right. We're peculiar. I mean, if anybody saw the way I was acting, they'd think, man, that's pretty peculiar, right? That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you and I, as the born-again children of God, sons and daughters, we constitute the New Testament priesthood. And just as the Old Testament priesthood had to offer sacrifices that were required under the Old Testament as ordinances of worship, you and I also are required to offer certain sacrifices that are required as ordinances of worship under the New Testament. Now we understand that the sin offering never has to be offered again, right? You remember every year, once a year in the Old Testament, it was called the Day of Atonement, or the Day of Compensation, or the Day of Payment, because the wages of sin is what? Death. So the payment necessary for sin was death. So every year, once a year, on the Day of Atonement or the Day of Compensation, the high priest and only the high priest would enter into that Holy of Holies, and he would shed the blood of an innocent lamb on the mercy seat and the altar of God. And God said, I'll receive that blood as payment for the sins of the people for 1 year. We'll do it every year until the final solution comes. Ooh, which he did. She shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he will what? Save his people from their sin. How? By offering his own body, the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world upon the altar of the cross, shedding his own perfect, sinless blood, eternally purging the sins of everybody that will receive the sacrifice. Woo! That never has to be offered again. Hebrews chapter 9, I think, verse 12 tells us, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That sacrifice never has to be offered again. And yet, there are sacrifices that have to be offered. What are they? Well, the Bible tells us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Notice what it says. Are you with me? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, yeah, to offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by or through Jesus Christ. So these sacrifices that you and I are to offer, they are spiritual in nature and origin. And of course, one of them that you know readily, it's not our point, but it's one, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Remember the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says your spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So one of the sacrifices we're to offer is this body, our lives, moment by moment, day by day. How many of you know worship is not an event? right? It's a lifestyle, right? So he said, this is one of the sacrifices. Live your life before me. Present your body every day, moment by moment, in love, submission, honor, and service, right? But now here's the one I want to get to this morning. And it's over in Hebrews 13, verse 15. I'm talking about celebration. Anybody going to celebrate with me? I'm already feeling it on the inside. Woo! I'm about to get happy in here. Now here's another sacrifice that you and I are required as the New Testament priesthood to offer. And notice what the Bible says, by him, by Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the what? The sacrifice of praise to God. How long? Continually. And then he tells us exactly what this sacrifice consists of. There's no mystery. That we may offer the sacrifice of God, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. So, the acceptable sacrifice of praise, according to the New Testament, requires the expression of the heart in thanksgiving through the lips or the mouth. Right? Now, in our modern church, we've substituted an external action of applause for the internal response of praise. Now, I'm all right with, oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's fine. But when somebody says, woo, let's praise the Lord, that's when the mouth comes open and the heart begins to declare thanksgiving to God for all that he's done. Are you with me? Notice Psalm 34 in verse 1. Now you can clap with the music and enjoy yourself, but I'm talking about the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. Notice, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. Notice the praise and the mouth, they go together, right? Here's another one, Psalm 71. And verse 8, isn't it? Psalm 71 and verse 8. Notice the Bible says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thine honor all the day. Woo! So, praise. Let me give you some definitions. I taught Bible school. I've studied. I know your pastor's a great studier. But the word praise in the Hebrew now, it has, you know, about five different connotations that kind of, when you mention them all, it gives you the entire scope of what praise consists of. We'll give you the Greek too, but the Hebrew means, first of all, it means to shine, shine. Now, what does that mean? Well, that has something to do with our countenance, right? You cannot praise God with an old mully grub face. Well, thank you, Jesus. God is good. Well, I don't believe you, right? I mean, when you're praising God, there's a shine about it. There's something on the inside. Woo! Showing up on the outside. Amen. To shine. Then the second meaning is to make a show. Make a show. What in the world? That means, friends, there's some type of demonstration. I mean, when somebody's making a show, there's something you can see, right? I mean, there's some enthusiasm being demonstrated. Turn to your neighbor and say, make a show. Turn to your other neighbor and say, get ready to make a show. Woo! So, shine. Make a show. Right? So there's something external involved in praise. I'm not making this up. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Right? And which leads me to the next one. To celebrate. To celebrate. That's a part of praise. Now, have you ever seen anybody celebrate? Anybody? Now, when you go to a football game or a basketball game or a hockey or soccer game and you are a fan, you're a fan, and your team makes a touchdown, you don't sit there and say, well, isn't that wonderful, Martha? Hoorah. That's not celebration. I mean, if you're a fan and your team makes a touchdown, I mean, you're jumping up and down. Whoa! You're dancing around. Whoa! You're hugging on people. That's celebration. Jesus did a lot more than take a bag of wind down the field. He saved us. He redeemed us. It's all right to celebrate that and to show a little enthusiasm, right? So shine, make a show, celebrate. Now some people will come, they'll say, well, I just don't think all that emotionalism is necessary in church. But the same person will sit on Sunday during football season in their recliner with a bag of chips and a Dr. Pepper. And their team makes a goal or a foot of a touchdown or a goal, and they go wild. What's the difference? They're a fan of that. Let's be fans of Jesus. Woo, let's get excited about what he's done. So shine, make a show, celebrate. Here's the fourth. Boast to boast. Man, when you boast about God, you're talking about how awesome he is, how powerful you are, how faithful you are, how amazing and compassionate and loving you are. You're boasting in him, right? Which leads to the fifth one, which is to commend or speak favorably of. There's the mouth again. To commend or speak favorably of. So that means, Father, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, that you made us new creations in Christ. You have delivered us from the power of darkness. You've translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. You've brought us out of darkness into light, out of death into life. We praise you. You are good. See? That's praise. Amen. Now, the Greek definition is the genuine. That means heartfelt, the genuine. Here we are. Here we go again. Confession of facts. The genuine confession of facts in one's life that brings glory to God. When you offer a sacrifice of praise, you talk about the times, man, when he saved you, got you off of drugs, alcohol, turned your life around, saved your marriage, got your kids on the right track, helped you pay your bill when you didn't know how in the world you were going to do it, healed your body. Has anyone genuinely in this room ever been healed? Raise your hand. Look at all these hands. Now I know where you are. Been healed. You know what he's done for you personally. When he walked through a valley, as you sang about, but man, he was there. His strength was there. His grace was there. And he got you through to the other side, and you're still here. You're still standing. Amen. And he showed you compassion. Man, when you thank him and commend him, the genuine confession of facts that gives him glory. So now listen, this morning we said we're going to give or have a celebration service, which means we're going to offer in the temple. We are the temple, the New Testament temple, and we are the priesthood. We're going to offer personally and corporately the sacrifice of praise. We're going to give him some thanks in this house this morning. You say, now why in the world are we going to do that? Well, because in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, notice what the Bible says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Why? Because he's good and his mercy endures forever. He is worthy of it. Right? He's done a lot for us. I like Psalm 92 in verse 1. Look what the psalmist said. He said, it is a good thing. Woo! To give what? Thanks to the Lord. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Here's one of my favorites, Psalm 35, 28. Just giving you plenty of scripture. Stir in your heart. Notice, Psalm 35 and 28, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Now, the reason I wanted to give you that, because I want you to listen to it in the Living Bible. Notice what the Bible says. I'll just quote it to you. He said, I will tell everyone how good and how great you are. I'm going to tell everybody. Woo! There's no rocks going to cry out for me. I'm going to offer my sacrifice of praise. So this service this morning is not a, what you call it? Not a participator, not a spectator's service. This is a participator service. And so in a moment, we're going to stand up. Not now, but in a minute. We're going to stand up and we are going to give God a corporate shout of praise. Now, you may never have shouted before. Praise the Lord. This is your moment. Nobody's going to be looking at you. You know, the old detergent says, for the tough stains, shout it out. I mean, sometimes there's a shout because you got it. There's a shout to get it. But God likes shouting. How do you know? Because if you read the Old Testament, every time, most often, when he gave a battle plan to the Israel against the Philistines, to the Israel against the Jericho, over and over, the Gideonites and so forth with, what was his name? Gideon and the Midianites, right? The Gideonites, that's a new word. Y'all wouldn't have even known if I wouldn't have stopped, would you? But you know, every time he would say, all right, do this, 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 circle the city 6 times, don't say a word on the 7th time, they're going to blow the trumpets. Everybody do what? Shout. And then the walls fell. And then, of course, with Israel, he said, now, do this, 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 give a great shout. And they said, man, when they shouted, the Philistines, it shook the whole ground. I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 4. And I'm telling you, man, they said, the God of Israel is in the camp. I mean, we're going to scare every devil around here. Woo! What city are we in? Macon proper? Where are we? Macon? We're going to scare every devil in Macon. Amen. We're going to let them know High Point Church is alive and well. God is in our midst. And that's what they said. God is in their midst. It'll do you good to shout once in a while. I mean, to forget about yourself and give God a shout of praise. There's something about it, friends, that just, man, it's liberating to let her fly in praise to God. So in a minute, we're going to stand. I'll count to three. We're going to give a corporate shout. Why are we shouting? We're going to thank Him for everything that He has done for us as a church and as a people. We're going to thank Him for what He is doing. Right? And then at the end, we're going to thank Him for what we're anticipating that He is going to do. Right? Because praise, as you've heard it say, said, praise hastens victory. Lillian B. Yeoman said that. Praise hastens victory. There's something about praising God that accelerates the power of God, the answer to that prayer. You remember over in Acts, is it 16, 25 and 26, I think it is, Acts. You remember Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight? Look at there. And notice, they prayed, thank God for prayer. But they did what? They sang praises in a little tiny quiet voice because they didn't want to disturb any of the other prisoners or the person next to them. Is that what it says? No, it said, man, they praise God in a loud voice. It's all right to get loud sometimes, right? And the prisoners heard them. And then notice the next verse. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And notice what happened. Immediately, all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosed. Guys, listen. It wasn't just their prison door that came open. It wasn't just their bands that were loosed. Everyone in the vicinity got affected when the power of God came on the scene. So you might be here in this auditorium this morning, man, you've got something you need answered. Whoa, you need some doors open, some bands loosed, some healing manifested in your body. We're going to praise God first with a shout of thanksgiving for what He has done. And then at the end, we're going to praise Him in anticipation of what we are believing for. Or maybe you're standing for something and you're needing that manifestation. We're going to praise Him in advance. Right? Because when you pray and praise, you qualify for a suddenly. I mean, things can change. Do you believe that? Amen. So we're going to let her rip. Now, in between the initial shout and the ending shout, I'm going to ask different ones of you, as your heart prompts you, to come right up here, and you can use this thing right here. Come up here and give us, now listen to me carefully, I'll say this as nice as I can, a short, concise testimony of something that God has done for you, that what? The genuine confession of facts in your life that brings Him glory. If He helped you pay a bill, come tell us. If He saved you and got you off drugs and you want to share that glorious testimony, come tell us. And guess what we'll do? We're going to celebrate with you. Ooh, we're going to make a show. We're going to get happy. If He healed you and I saw hands, come tell us. Now, what we want, and I won't say this just to the ladies, I'm saying to the men too, because I've had, you know, times where men just are long-winded. We want headlines. No fine print. Headlines. Give us enough information to make it interesting, but we want to maintain a flow. So this is not our latest revelation or a mini sermon. This is what? A sacrifice of praise. A testimony. I had this. God did this. I was in this situation. God did this. Tell us. Let's do what? Let's offer that sacrifice. So we'll start with a corporate shout. I'm going to take some personal. And don't make me come out there and drag you. If He's been good to you, come tell us. Right? And then we'll end with that final sacrifice of praise. And what is that for? In anticipation. It's a praise of faith. Right? Because the Bible says our celebration. I shouldn't have said the Bible says. I say, and you've heard it said. Our celebration is a demonstration of our faith in the fact. God's heard my prayer. The answer's on the way. And if you believe it, you just pray it, praise Him for it in advance. Right? Everybody in the house, stand up. I better put this in a safe place. I have knocked water bottles over before. Somebody come grab this podium and move it over here. I'll help Pastor. No, here. Okay. Get it out of my way because I do get happy. I might dance a little bit. I might shout a little bit. And listen, I don't want to dance alone or shout alone, but I will. But I'd prefer not to. So everybody going to join me? All right, here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, and Bob and y'all, you guys are ready. On the count of three, I want you from your heart to lift a shout of praise to God for His faithfulness. Let's celebrate His goodness in this house, in this church, to you through the years, His faithfulness. Then I'm going to take some testimonies. Then we'll give a final shout. All right. Are you ready?
Yes!
You guys are ready. I know you are. Maybe you're here. You're visiting. Don't worry. I'm just a visiting minister. You come on back. Right? But if you've never praised God without being inhibited, you let it rip. All right, are you ready? Because why? This is from you to Him. Anybody ready? One, two, three. Give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you've been so good to us, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory. Oh, keep shouting a little bit. Give Him some praise. Oh, yes.
Give Him the glory.
Give Him glory. We love you, Lord. Up this morning.
Suddenly on my way.
Hey, come on.
Give Him praise.
Oh, yeah. Give Him the glory. Put your hands together.
Give Him praise.
Oh, give Him praise.
Give Him the glory.
Oh, give Him praise. Oh, He woke you up this morning. You can come on this side and come on this side, and I'll call you one at a time. I want somebody to come up here and tell us how good the Lord's been. Come on up here. Now, I'm going to hold the microphone. Come on. I'm going to hold the microphone. Come on right in front of me up here. Tell us how good He's been to you.
God has been so good to me. They cured me from lung cancer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. He taught me how to walk again when I couldn't walk. I thank you, Father.
Glory to God. Lung cancer. Hallelujah. Come on then, brother. I'll get you there. Tell us how good He's been to you. Stand right here and tell us.
I was on my way to the streets, but He lifted me out of the pit. He gave me a family, beautiful children, and a soul to sing unto Him all the day.
Come on up here, brother. Tell us how good He's been to you.
In 5 years of marriage, the Lord allowed me and Marcy to pay off over $85,000 in debt while tithing and while giving to other ministries. And that's just one area of our lives.
Glory to God! Delivered you $585,000 debt. And that's just the beginning. Hey, if you need that, celebrate with Him. Right here, tell us how good He's been. All right.
God have, since my childhood, taken care of me. And He gave me a scholarship in the most prestigious schools in Brazil. And I wasn't able to pay. Even my private school when I was in high school, and God has taken care of everything, and even English courses, so I'm thankful. And later, a few years, in 2015, and He restored my marriage, and I have two beautiful daughters, and it's everything. It's just the beginning.
That's awesome! Woo! Come tell us how good He's been. Give us a sacrifice of praise.
Over 1 year, symptom-free of multiple cirrhosis. No multiple cirrhosis.
Glory to God! Woo! Come on up here. Tell us how good he's been to you.
God has delivered me out of the pit of depression and self-affliction to restore his kingdom through me and through us.
Yes! Woo! Come on right here. Tell us how good he is. And that's going to repeat, right? You're going to get it. All right. Tell us how good.
He is so good. On March the 13th, my heart was functioning at 25%. This just comes up overnight. AFib, felt awful in the hospital 13 days. I want you to know God gave me a new heart. Yeah. He said he did. And I felt wonderful. Thanks for the prayer.
Hallelujah. I said you had something to praise him about, and you did, didn't you? Woo! Come on, tell us how good he's been. Don't you love to hear the sacrifice of praise? Stand right here. I'll hold it for you.
I was broke, lost, and confused, but I was saved by his grace, built up with his strength.
Oh, hallelujah! Woo! That's a great testimony. Tell us how good he's been, sir.
When our granddaughter, Kayla, was about 15 years old, she stopped feeding herself. She stopped doing anything for herself. She would not do anything. I mean, zilch, zero, nada. She wouldn't even dress herself. We have been praying, believing, trusting God. We've had counsel. We've had take her to, I don't know the number of different ministries. In the last 3 or 4 weeks now, she has started feeding herself. She has come alive. She's a totally different person. And we give God the credit for it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Come on up here. That's that beautiful voice I heard in the background. Stand right here.
After the loss of multiple babies, God slayed me in the spirit right here and gave me a perfect Apgartan child who graduates next Thursday from high school and is going directly to serve God this summer.
Woo! Tell us how good he's been.
In 1970, I met a redhead at McDonald's Hamburgers named the marvelous Maggie, who led me to the Lord a few years later, and we've been married in July 47 years. Yes, I got the best one in the church. Thank you, God.
Isn't that a great testimony? God bless you. Come on, sister. Woo! Praise God. Tell us how good the Lord has been. I know he's been good.
October 16th, I had a heart attack, and I was dead between 20 and 25 minutes. But God, some kind of God just came in, and he just woke me up.
Raised her up from the dead. Dead 25 minutes. Woo! I tell you, that's something. He's the resurrection and the life. Come on. Tell us how good he's been, too.
Been in the church all my life, but in the last year I found out that the Holy Spirit is living inside of me.
That's beautiful.
Woo! Thank you for bringing me to this church, especially.
That is a blessing when you find out the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. All right, now I want to ask you a question. We said we're going to give a final praise in anticipation. If you're believing for some things, I just want you, when I count to three, man, I want you to praise God because you know he's heard your prayer. You know the answer's on the way. And I want to ask you a question. How would you praise him if you knew the very thing you've asked him for was on the way? Why don't you just go ahead and demonstrate? Some of you might need to dance a little bit. Shout a little. Woo! When you believe it, you get happy about it. Oh, I'm telling you. He's turning some things around right now. Oh, Kishelebe. Woo! Go ahead and praising for him. And watch what he will do. Oh, glory! Oh, yeah! We got a right to praise him. Woo! Let's shout one more time. Go ahead and give him one more shout. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, oh. Glory! There's some things turning. Prison and doors are opening. Woo, shackles are coming off. Situations are changing. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. Woo, I tell you what, there's power in praise. And I believe there'll be some testimonies, man. Hey, remember that guy? We began to praise God, and I praised him for something specific, and here's the answer. I've seen it time and time again. There was a girl in one of our services one time, and man, she'd had asthma all her life. All of her life. And we started praising God. She'd never been in a service like that. Trying to respect your pews, take my shoes off. She'd never been in a service. She said, something came on me, and I felt like I should run. She said, but I had my high heels on and my hair up nice, and I was looking fine. And she said, I just didn't think I should. She said, then all of a sudden you said, somebody missed their opportunity. And she said, you said, if you missed your opportunity, man, praise God like you've never praised it. Let it go. And I said, you know, do it now. And man, she took off running around that auditorium, kicked her high heels off. And she said, God is my witness. She waited 10 years to write us. She said, God is my witness. When I came around that, she said, normally I'd be wheezing and gasping. She said, I've not had any symptoms of asthma for over 10 years, and I just wanted to let you know. Nobody laid hands on me. I was just praising God. Woo! So if you need another chance, just take it right now. Woo! Hallelujah! Yes! Woo! We're celebrating this morning the goodness of God. Whew. Things can happen. Nobody has to lay a hand on me. Just right there by the power of God. Amen. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you believe your praise has activated some stuff? Thank you, God. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you. We'll be back here tonight. If you can come, come on. We love you. Praise God. Woo! Come on, lift up your voice. One more time. Hallelujah! Yes, Lord. Glory to your name. You are great, and you are greatly to be praised. Your greatness, Lord, is unsearchable. Hallelujah.